Have you wondered about living elsewhere after you retire? Well, we have, almost daily. As you know, it's not an overnight decision. Hi, this is Gil.
And Gene.
Of Retire There, a podcast about places to consider living in during your retirement. We started this show for selfish reasons, because we will be retiring in the next few years, but we're not sure where. Then a light bulb went off in Gene's head. What are others doing? With so many baby boomers retiring, there must be many relocating. So we decided, let's connect with them and pick their brains. But first, a little background. I'm Asian, born in Brazil, and grew up in Flatbush, Brooklyn. I'm an engineer turned attorney and practicing higher ed law at a college who loves working with students, faculty, and staff.
I am not Asian. Born and raised in Long Island, New York, a place I always wanted to leave. I am a law librarian working in a court who loves his job. We've lived in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, New York for many years and have been thinking about our future home.
So we'll be speaking to folks from around the country and now around the world who have moved to venues of their dreams and more. And we will share their stories and we will share their intimate secrets.
No.
I'm just kidding, Gene. But we will provide information that you may not find anywhere else. So stay tuned. Buongiorno. We are so excited today. We will be chatting with Ken Hill and Barbara Palermo, who retired to Sicily, Italy. Unfortunately, Ken couldn't join us this morning.
I can't believe he won't be here. Now we can't say we had Ken and Barbie on the show.
All right. Funny, Gene. This is Retire There's first Italian show. Sicily is the largest region of Italy and the largest island in the Mediterranean Sea. Gene and I eloped to Firenze some moons ago. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right anymore, but it's Florence for you guys. It was a magical trip, one we will never forget. We also went to Turin while we were there to see the Shroud.
Yeah, the Shroud. Do you think it's real?
I think it was being renovated.
Oh, that's right. We didn't see the Shroud.
Yeah. There is so much to cover today, so we're going to try to get started quickly. But I wanted to note that the Sicilian language is said to incorporate a blend of words rooted from Arabic, Hebrew, Byzantine, and Norman, unlike Italian that sounds more like a blend of Spanish and French. In fact, most Italians find full-blown Sicilian incredibly hard to understand, which I never knew, and to be a total departure from traditional Italian. We'll have to ask Barbara about that. Now, Barbara was born and raised in Southern California, Huntington Beach, to be exact. She attended Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff, where she met her husband, Ken. Yes, Gene, Ken and Barbie. I love it. She has a bachelor's in botany and a master's in biology.
As you'll hear throughout the show, Barbara has had a lot of great accomplishments in her life. But I think her crowning achievement is getting Gil to wake up at Saturday morning at 7 a.m. to record the show. Just amazing, Barbara. I have to salute you for that. Barbara has worked as an animal health technician for the USDA in Oregon for 20 years before retiring and moving to Sicily in July of 2020. Her loves include cooking, gardening, playing with animals, red wine, nice, traveling. So a farm in Sicily was the perfect place for me, she notes. Barbara wrote a great book called Over the Sicilian Moon, which is all about the mishaps and adventures of getting Italian citizenship, locating long-lost relatives in Sicily, buying and renovating an old farm, and moving abroad during a pandemic. Ken Hill was born and raised in Texas. He worked as a GIS, that's Geographic Information System, analyst, cartographer for the Oregon Military Department before retiring. I'd love to be a cartographer. In any case, moving to Italy was Ken's idea. At first, Barbara thought he was nuts.
I don't think she thinks he's nuts anymore. So the couple were Airbnb superhosts in Oregon for 5 years and are excited to be hosting travelers again soon, this time offering a Sicilian farm stay experience hosted by English-speaking American expats. They are hoping to encourage more American tourists to visit Italy. Well, we are on that list. With that, Barbara, can you please take us on your ride to Sicily, the how, what, who, and when?
Hi, thank you for having me. I love talking about Sicily. It's a story that I find hard to believe myself sometimes. It really wasn't on our radar to move to Sicily or anywhere. We hadn't even made retirement plans. It all just sort of evolved. A series of fortuitous events occurred that just put us on this path. We never would have predicted that that was where we would end up.
Yet in the world of places, how did you choose Sicily?
Well, I think our story is a little unique because it really started not so much with a plan to where shall we retire, but it started with a conversation my husband had with a stranger on a bus. And the fellow told him, my wife's Italian and we're moving to Italy. And my husband was like, what? Wait a minute. My wife's Italian. Tell me more. So, of course, he interrogated the poor guy for the 10-minute bus ride. He happened to be a professor at Oregon State University. So, and Ken was attending college there. So anyway, Ken came home very excited, told me all about it. Oh, you should go online. You should check it out. We can move to Italy. And I just was taken aback. I thought, you're just crazy. I'm not doing that. I can't do that. I didn't at that point, you know, I didn't know any of my relatives. I didn't speak Italian. I mean, it just wasn't something I ever even thought about. But again, just different things happened that kind of put us on this path. And it was almost like fate, if you will. I know it sounds corny, but starting with that, which led to us getting, or me getting a dual citizenship based on ancestry, because my grandparents were born in Italy. And that took quite a few years. And then after I was an Italian citizen, then Ken could then apply for citizenship based on marriage, because now he's married to a real Italian. And that took more years. So the whole thing, all in all, was like a 16-year journey. But once, wow. It definitely, you have to be patient. Just keep at it. You can't give up. That's what it started with, getting citizenship, which led to me wanting to do something with that. I was compelled to find long-lost relatives. So again, a bunch of fortuitous events happened that led me to find my long-lost relatives, because we hadn't stayed in touch. The family didn't know who they were or where they were. But I found them, and then I was compelled to come to Sicily and meet them. And once we did that, well, it was just love at first sight. I mean, they were so genuine, so welcoming. And of course, the island is beautiful and the food is amazing and the climate and so forth. Everything you've heard, it's true. It's
oh, wonderful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that after, I think, the second time we came to Sicily to have another family reunion, that's when we decided to start looking for property here. And we implemented a 5-year plan to retire here.
Wow. You were that organized? You had a 5-year plan?
Yes, we were not organized up until that moment. But once we made that decision, once we decided this is it, we're living here, one way or another, we're going to make it happen. We went home and we had lists and we started downsizing. We started saving. We started doing Airbnb originally to make money for this dream and ended up just really enjoying it. We were serious. We told all our friends and family. Of course, they thought we were nuts. And we just kept at it until it came true.
So I have to ask, it took 16 years to get citizenship for the both of you. All along, was that just kind of like, oh, that's our hobby back project? Or was it, you know, we'll get it next year, and then another year goes by because of some bureaucracy, we'll get it next year? Or, you know, like, how does one wait 16 years?
Well, I am a person of very little patience. So it was tough, let me tell you. My husband, whose idea it was initially, came home that day, very excited. And I was like, no way. Then it switched. And then he kind of lost interest and, you know, just, I don't know. I think that he thought it was never really going to happen. We had submitted our papers. We heard nothing. They don't answer the consulate. You know, the Italian consulate doesn't really, they're not very responsive, we'll say. So you just, after a while, you kind of give up. He did, but I'm a different person and I just become more and more determined as time mm-hmm. goes on. Mm-hmm. So at one point he wanted us to change our phone number because we had changed cities and he wanted to have an area code that reflected the new city. And I said, no, the Italian consulate's going to call me one day and this is the number they have. And so, they did.
Yeah. But was it the delays due to the government?
Yes. It's a combination of Italian bureaucracy, which is infamous.
Yes.
But, and this is before COVID, so I imagine it's way worse now. But
yeah.
It's a combination of that and the fact that they're really overwhelmed with people applying for citizenship. There's not a consulate in every state. Like our consulate, we lived in Oregon, our consulate was San Francisco, and they covered like 14 different states.
Oh,
and there was like two people to handle all of those applications.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because, you know, if you made this decision when you were, let's say, I don't know, 80, you know, and because I know about a little bit about the bureaucracy, because when we wanted to get married in Italy, although marriage is quite different, obviously, than citizenship or citizenry, we had to get four witnesses at the Italian embassy in New York. Mm-hmm. We didn't had no idea. So we had some idea because we read the materials. So we did that pretty quickly. And we get to Italy. We had to get more witnesses, which that was surprising.
Oh, that's right. We got those two college girls.
Yeah, we were having dinner and we said, where are we going to find these people? We don't know anyone here.
Yeah, we were getting married the next day.
So sitting next to us at the restaurant with these two college students studying in Florence, you know, from the United States, we turned around and said, hey, girls, would you like to be? And they were so flattered, you know, and so.
Yeah,
so
they were good kids.
So they
nice
did.
Kids.
We also wanted to have a priest. That was before we tried to get a priest to obviously bless us, and oh my God, the Duomo was just gorgeous. And so, Gene, what happened? Why couldn't we get the priest to bless us?
I had a little problem with a nun when I was young, but we won't go completely through that.
What? She hit you?
Yeah.
All right. So Gene misbehaved. I don't recall the details. He normally loves the story, but
I hit her back.
Not hard, but so he got in trouble. As a result, he could not get his confirmation.
Correct. Right?
Meanwhile, here I am, born in Brazil, raised in Brooklyn, and I went through the whole nine yards and got everything. I was even baptized. And so we called this wonderful priest who was 86 in Florence, and he said, unfortunately, because you're missing the confirmation, I cannot perform a ceremony. And so we wound up saying, all right, fine. But then he called back and he had been stationed, if you will, in Hong Kong for 18 years. So he knew a little Cantonese and he thought that was cute. And he said, you know, I would like to meet the two of you. So we met and he wound up blessing us in the little cafe. Do you remember?
Yeah, the cafe where I think that must be the most expensive cafe in Florence ever.
I think he wanted pastisaria or gelato.
It was like three cups of coffee and a little dessert for $80. It was insane.
But he held our hands. Okay, we digressed a little too long there. So Barbara, let's get back. Sorry. Can you tell us, was it easy to find your relative? Tell us how you found your relative to make that connection.
No, again, that was one of those crazy things that we just pure luck, I think, or fate, I like to call it. I started with Ancestry.com. I didn't get very far. Did find a manifest that had my grandfather's name on it. So I knew when he came to Ellis Island, but very little to go on. So I started asking my mother, and by then she was, I think, 87. So her memory was fading. And I was like, Mom, surely you know somebody, somebody's name, somebody's address, somebody. She's like, no, I don't know. She's getting irritated with me. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know anything. She's like, the only thing I can remember is that some of our family emigrated to Melbourne, Australia, and I think they own a winery. That was it. That was the only clue I had to go on.
Wow, that's
great. I'm like, oh boy, thank goodness for the internet. You know, I Googled, you know, wineries, Melbourne, Australia. Well, there's tons of them.
Yeah.
But there was one just popped up on my screen. It was an interview by a local newspaper, interviewed people who owned a winery. And in the interview, they said, oh, we came here when we were young from a small Sicilian village.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, what are the odds? Really? But I went to their winery website and I hit the contact us button and I explained who I was and all the names that I knew about in our family. And bingo, those are my cousins.
Wow. And
I know. And so those cousins had stayed in touch with the Sicilian part of the family over all these decades. And so they put me in touch with them and I sent them an old fashioned letter, mailed it off to Italy, explained who I was and how I found them and included my email address. And like just a few days later, they wrote back and we used Google Translate. So it was kind of hit and miss with what they were saying and what I was saying. They didn't know any English. I didn't know any Italian.
I can't believe you didn't use a translator.
Well, we use Google Translate, but it's
I know, but I mean like a 100%.
Oh, a professional? No, no. No, we just kind of winged it. And it worked out. So they wrote to us. We wrote to them. We started sending pictures back and forth. Next thing you know, we were on a plane to meet them. I think it like 6 weeks later.
Wow.
First time ever to Sicily. I'd only been to Northern Italy at that point. So this was very exciting. I was very nervous to meet relatives. I thought I might say or do something really stupid and offend them. But it turned out to be wonderful. They threw us a welcome home party and it was life changing.
Wow. Welcome home party. I'm getting goosebumps. Wow.
For that trip, some of the Australian cousins came out too. So it was a family reunion from three different countries.
That's so great.
That is wonderful. Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. And are you 100% Sicilian?
I am 100% Italian. My grandmother was from Bari, Southern Italy, and everyone else was from Sicily.
Okay.
Okay. So now do you speak Sicilian or Italian?
I have no idea. I have no idea what I speak. I try very hard to do both, but like you were mentioning before, Sicilian is very different. It has Greek and Arabic and all of these influences. Some people think it's a dialect. I'm told it's an actual language. So I do notice that with certain people, it's harder for me to understand than other people. And I think it's because they're speaking more Sicilian than Italian. So I learned some vocabulary from both and I kind of blend them together. So I'm not really sure what you would call that.
Right, right, right. But are you able to converse with the public, you know, in terms of everyday shopping or how far are you along?
The basic stuff. I can, you know, I can ask for directions. Oh. I can order in a restaurant. I can't really get into anything deep. Like, you know, I can't have a conversation about politics or anything.
Right, right.
Not yet. Right. But I can probably do more than the average tourist. Somewhere in between. You know, on a good day, I can put together two complete sentences and they understand me.
Wow.
On a bad day, I just in a state of confusion and embarrassment the whole time.
And the little village you live in, do any of them speak English? Or do many of them speak English?
Not many. You'll find a surprising lot of people speak a little bit of English, not American, English. Usually it's the younger people. Like if you go into a ma and pa shop, which most of them are, the older people, the owners might not know any English, but they'll run and get their daughter or their grandkid to come out because they learn English in school and they know a little bit more. So between, you know, their little bit of English and my little bit of Italian, we get by.
And what city or town are you specifically in?
I'm right on the border between two small villages. One of them's called Gaggi and one of them's called Trapattello. I'm in the countryside and we're literally on the border of those two small towns. So like the farm across the street, he's in another town, but we fall within the commune of Taormina, which the Pearl of Sicily, a big, beautiful tourist town. Maybe 20 minutes away.
Oh, okay. Do you find expats where you are? And what's that like?
Yeah, surprisingly. I mean, even with the restrictions with COVID and us staying home most of the time for the last year since we've been here, we still have managed to meet people accidentally. And a surprising amount of them are actual expats. I was very surprised by that. I figured there'd be expats, you know, in Rome or Florence, but not small town Sicily. But there's expats everywhere, and not just from, you know, some from America, but some from Australia, some from Morocco. We met a fellow from South Africa. So lots of English speaking expats around.
And your B&B, you're starting to have guests?
I'm starting to have reservations. Lots of people are looking. I have 3 commitments so far, and I think it's going to really pick up in the fall. I think people want to wait just a little bit longer to commit because they don't want to travel with masks and they don't want to have to get a COVID test before they get on the flight and when they return. I think that they're just waiting, holding off a little bit.
And can you say and spell out the name of your website so people can access it?
Oh, sure. We live in what's called the Alcantara Valley, and we live next to an old abandoned railway bridge that has these beautiful arches. So we called it the Arches of Alcantara, based on that bridge and the valley in which it sits. So in Italian, it's Archi del Alcantara. So it's archidelalcantara.com. In English, it would be Arches of Alcantara.
So you ran a B&B before, back in the States. How was it establishing one in Italy? Were there a lot of regulations and so forth?
Well, we're just getting started. And so come tax time, we'll find out more about how those regulations really work. We do have a commercialista, they're called, but an accountant here. And he's very well versed in expat needs and taxes.
Oh, okay.
And we do have to still continue to file as dual citizens. We still have to file taxes in America for the rest of our lives. Wow. On worldwide income. This is a surprise to many people.
Wow.
And we have to file taxes in Italy.
Sure.
But there is a treaty between the two countries that says, you know, they can't double tap you. So if, you know, we tell America what we paid in taxes here, and then, you know, they want the difference or whatever. So I'm not sure how that works, and I won't be till the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's very different Airbnb here than it is there. Obviously, you know, it works the same, and we get paid in euros instead of dollars. Mm-hmm. And we do have to pay taxes on it. And that's pretty much all I know at this point.
So you say the weather is great. How exactly is the weather?
Well, you have to keep in mind, we moved here from rainy Pacific Northwest Oregon. So that was hard for us because my husband grew up in Texas and I grew up in Southern California. So we're sun people, and 15 years in Oregon was pretty tough to take. Lots of rain and clouds. So we went from there to sunny Sicily, and here it's more like Southern California where I grew up, you know, lots of orange trees, lots of citrus, warm and sunny, hardly ever rains, you know, very nice. Although the summer months, it does get really, really hot, which I'm not used to. And they have some pretty strong mistral winds in the spring that were quite frightening.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Island weather, you know, it's crazy.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And then Mount Etna erupts every so often. And depending on which way the wind's blowing, there's ash everywhere. So it's pretty exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But being from California, you're like, all right, even if it shakes a little, I'll be fine.
That I haven't experienced yet. No shaking. Erupting volcanoes and strong winds.
So how cold does it get in terms of temperature, and how hot? Because you said it gets really hot. What is that, 95?
No, over 100.
Wow.
It gets hot. And when thunderstorms are brewing, it gets really muggy, and I'm not used to that either. So that's pretty tough. Mm-hmm. Ken, being from Texas, he's like, oh, this is nothing. For me, it's like, I'm dying.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Everything's air conditioned at that point.
Absolutely. But we have solar power, so we're good.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that
yeah,
nice.
we can run it for free and guilt-free. So that's good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was one of the first things we did when we got here.
Was it easy getting all that material? Was Sicily?
Nothing. Okay. No, that's never easy. There's bureaucracy and everything's slow. It's Domani. And the famous saying here is piano, piano. Not the instrument. It means step by step, one at a time, slowly, slowly. And if I hear piano, piano one more time, it strangles me. We love that lifestyle. Mm-hmm, but when you're trying to renovate a farm and get things done, and you know you're used to everything being open and happening when you want it to, it's a tough adjustment.
I was thinking of the architect Renzo. When you mentioned piano, unrelated. Okay.
And how far are you from the beach?
3 miles.
Oh, that's all. Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah, we're in the countryside, but we're very, you can be at the lovely Ionian Sea in literally 5 minutes. So it was the perfect location. So originally my husband wanted to get a place on the beach, you know, in town, but it was very noisy there and congested. There's no place to park and it's very loud, and it would have worked for me because you don't get a yard, you hit a small terrace, and I like animals and gardening. So we started looking in the country, and this place was just the perfect location.
Okay. Can you talk to us about healthcare and the costs involved?
Yes. I'll try not to get on a rant, but this is kind of a big deal for me. In America, where I was born and raised, I was always disappointed with the healthcare system. It was very difficult. It took a long time to get an appointment. You wouldn't see a doctor. You'd see a nurse or a PA. You'd get 10 minutes in the room. You could ask 2 questions and you're on your way. Insurance would never cover an MRI, so they could never diagnose me with my sore knees. And it was just very frustrating. Now, we heard that, you know, here it was going to be better. They have a free public health care system, but we didn't really know what to expect. And now that we've been here a year, we have both used the health care system and it rocks. Wow. It does. Wow. It really, really does.
Nice.
Having citizenship, we qualify for the free public health system. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get insurance. You can if you want, but we haven't felt the need, because so far it's been really easy. Now get this, when I need a prescription filled, I just send a WhatsApp text to my doctor directly. No secretary, no receptionist, no nurse. I WhatsApp him directly and he sends me the prescription via text on my phone. I take the phone to the pharmacy. I don't even have to print it. I show him the phone. They go in the back room where all the pills are in stock and they walk out and hand it to me. And it's free or $5. I think the most I ever paid was $12.
This is unbelievable. I never knew this.
It gets better.
No,
it gets even better. Okay, so listen to this. I couldn't get diagnosed with my knee problem, and they just said, "Oh, it's arthritis," and threw some arthritis medicine at me in the States, because the insurance company would never authorize, you know, to pay for an MRI. I got here. I told them, you know, my knees are really hurting because there's lots of stairs and hills here, and so it was getting worse and worse. And they said, "Oh, let's do an MRI." The word insurance never even came up. So an MRI, 2 days later, like $100.
Wow.
What does it cost in America?
Oh, $1,500.
State-of-the-art facility, very professional. Got my MRI. He immediately said, "Yep, it's what I thought it was. It's not arthritis. It's mechanical. Your knees do this weird thing." You know, it's a long story. Anyway, put me on a plan, which involves an exercise bike to strengthen my knee, my muscles around my knee, and also to get injections of this natural lubricant. I kind of like the Tin Man and the Wizard of Oz, is how I feel.
So steroid, but interesting.
No, just a natural lubricant. And here's the best part. An orthopedic surgeon from the hospital comes to my house, my farm, and he gives me the injections. And it's less than $200, and I'm good for 6 months.
Oh, this is incredible.
Wow.
But this is because you're a citizen.
It's because I'm a citizen and a resident.
Yeah.
Here, the whole idea of healthcare is that it's not business for profit, like in the States.
Sure.
Here, it's your birthright. Everybody has the right to good healthcare. Mm-hmm. So they just do it differently. Mm-hmm. They handle it differently. It's affordable. They take care of you if you get hurt. Nobody cares if you have insurance. Nobody cares where you were born. They're just going to take care of you.
Beautiful.
You know, it's interesting.
That is incredible.
It's interesting. Many expats we've spoken to have said, yeah, the country they're in has free healthcare, but I don't use it because it's not that great. And they all purchase private healthcare. For you, it sounds like you don't need it. It's just a great system there.
It really is. It far exceeded our expectations.
Wow.
So Italy is really a great place to retire. Although we'd have to find your relatives.
Well, my sister's working on that because she wants to get citizenship.
Oh, yes. Jean is half Italian.
I would say It takes a long time. Don't procrastinate. Start immediately. It'll be worth it. And when you get citizenship, your children automatically qualify at the same time.
Wow.
They don't. Right. You can all do it together. One shot.
Do it.
But not my wife. And she has to go through another 6 years.
But I'm married to you. So you get it right away. Right. I'll take care of the paperwork. He's very slow. Very slow.
I think it's easier now. I think it's a little bit better because it's more electronic than it was when I did it.
Right.
And it also probably depends on what consulate you go through.
Yeah. Well, COVID aftermath. We'll see about that.
Yeah.
So wait, you know, before we forget, you guys moved during the pandemic.
What? Yes.
I can't believe that. Why? Because you finally got through?
Because we were determined. We were like pit bulls with a bone, you know? It's like, dang it, we planned this 5 years ago. We were very organized. We sold everything. We sold our house even. Oh. We were like, we're doing this one way or another. We're doing this. So then the pandemic comes and we're like, oh my gosh. So here's our 5-year plan and the pandemic, it's messing it up. It's like, should we get in front of it, sell our house and go sooner? Or should we wait, you know, and see what happens and maybe it'll fizzle out and it'll be safer. And we said, no, we're going for it. We're getting in front of it and we're going for it.
Wow.
So we tried our best to find, so we sold the house and we moved in with friends who had a farm in Oregon and had a little cottage on the property. We moved in there living out of a suitcase. Everything else was either sold or in storage, waiting on the boat, waiting for us to say, send it to Italy.
It takes
2 months and we didn't want it to get there before us. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So we stayed with friends and then we started, you know, every day watching the news very carefully. Are we allowed to go? And at that point, you know, it was spreading like crazy and Italy was shut down. Everything was a mess. And they were saying you can only go to Italy for if it's an emergency or you can prove. How did they put it? It has to be, I don't know, super important. A trip of necessity or whatever the term was. But they didn't, really explain what that meant. So I contacted the consulate thinking, well, they'll be the authority on this. And they said, oh, no, you can't go. It doesn't matter that you have citizenship. It doesn't matter that you own a house there. If you are coming from the United States where it was out of control, they're not going to let you in. So then I tried several Facebook pages. There's Facebook pages, expats in Sicily, expats in Italy. There's lots of them. Yeah. So I reached out and said, hey, anybody successfully actually flown there? You know, what do you think? And some of them were like, well, we tried. They turned us away at the airport. Others were like, oh, we got in line and this guy said no. So we left and came back, got in another line. And this one said, yes.
Oh, wow.
So we had all kinds of answers. You can do it. You can't do it. You can do it. You can't do it. It's impossible. No.
That's
anyway,
insane.
Typical Facebook page. Yeah.
We couldn't get a straight answer. We just decided to go for it. And man, were we nervous. Yeah. And you know what? It was the smoothest flight we've ever had to Italy. No problem.
Oh, wow.
We just flashed our Italian passports and in Amsterdam on the way here, and they let us right in.
Nice. Oh, my.
But we didn't know that would happen. So we were really, really nervous.
Right.
So
you were really.
We had packed, you know, the deed to our house, you know, copies of utility, everything we could to kind of prove we own a house there. We have to be there. We need to be there. Please let us in. It turned out none of that was needed.
Wow. Oh, so you had purchased the house already before moving there.
Yes. And that took 2 years and 7 months.
I believe. Oh, my God. Wow.
Yes. Because
you bought the property sight unseen?
No. So after I met the cousins, then we started coming every year for 3-week vacations.
Okay.
For 5 years, we came for 3 weeks. We always came to see the cousins. And after the second year, and when we decided we wanted to live here, we hired a property finder and we started looking at houses. And we found one, and finding it was not that hard. Making an offer and having it accepted was not that hard. The hard part was finalizing it, you know, the bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. There was all kinds of problems. I'll just give you an example of one. This
doesn't
is all
shock
a book.
Me. Yeah.
one problem was that it was an old farm that was overrun that this woman had inherited from her aunt. And she was going to turn it into a B&B of her own, but she had other restaurants and B&Bs. So she was too busy. So she decided to sell it. It wasn't even finished when we looked at it. No doors or windows. pretty rough. But it turns out when she renovated the house on the farm, she didn't bother to get any of the required permits.
Oh, no.
So she had to beg for forgiveness and get them, you know, after the fact amnesty. And that took 6 months right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then because the property is a farm, it dates way back to a time when the feudal lords owned the land and the peasants, you know, paid to grow crops on it. Oh, and so there was this ancient wording on the deed. And when we got an Italian mortgage, which I qualify for because I'm an Italian citizen, they saw this ancient wording having to do with the feudal lords or the church or something. And they're like, no, these words have to be removed. We're not giving you, but of course nobody knew how to do that. So that was another 9 months.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. Anyway. The lawyers must do well.
Probably, but then they do anywhere. So
yeah.
So I'm glad that we didn't wait, because everything takes so much longer than you think it
sure.
will.
Sure. Yeah.
So it was nice to know where we were going to go when we moved here. We already had a house. We already had somebody looking after it for us. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We had already met our future neighbors because we'd come here so many times.
Right. Okay. So what's the cost of living? If I don't know anything and I come to Sicily and I'm not looking for a farm, is it affordable to live there? Rental, you know?
Southern Italy is very affordable. I mean, Sicily is not Tuscany. It's mm-hmm. not Rome. It's not Florence. Right. It's Sicily.
Right.
It's a little bit more on the rougher, wild side. Mm-hmm. Absolutely gorgeous. I prefer Sicily to all of Italy, but then I'm biased. It is cheaper down here. Mm-hmm. It's much cheaper down here. The only things that are more expensive here that I've discovered so far is gasoline, of course. In all of Europe, I think gasoline's way more expensive than we're used to in the States. Mm-hmm. And electricity is very expensive, which is why we invested in solar.
Okay.
But other than those two things, everything is either comparable. Less expensive mm-hmm. or comparable.
So when you say gasoline, can you give us an idea what you mean? Is it double? I know rates change and you know.
It's probably triple.
Wow.
So, you know, that's why there's so many little Vespas beating around.
Yeah. Yes.
It's not just because there's tiny roads. Obviously, you need a little car. So I have a Smart for two, but also because of, you know, we want good gas mileage. It's an island. I mean, we're not going to drive that far anyway. Mm-hmm. So I don't really need to fill my car up more than once a month.
Okay. Well, so did you say you have a smart car?
Yeah, a little Smart for two.
Oh, what does it cost to fill that tank?
What does it cost? About 60 euro. That's a pretty small tank, though.
Yeah,
I know.
That's a lot of money.
But you also have to remember, so we get our American pensions.
Oh, yes.
Deposited into our American bank account, just like we always did when we worked. And then every once in a while, we will transfer a chunk of that money from our American bank using TransferWise to our Italian bank account. Mm-hmm. Which is also very, very hard to get, by the way. Opening a bank account is not like in America.
I was going to get to that. I do want to know.
But... So we do transfer the money. And for every dollar that we move, it depends on whatever the currency exchange rate is. So we lose, right now we lose 20 cents on the dollar. It makes up for it because food's really cheap here. And the quality of life is better. And healthcare is pretty much free.
That right mm-hmm. there. Yeah.
You know, so then it all evens out in the wash, you know. So yes, it's affordable.
So you say food isn't expensive. Do you go to a regular supermarket or do you go to the farmer's market or how do you do your food shopping?
All of the above. There are supermarkets that we go to. I mean, I don't have anything huge like Costco or anything, mm-hmm. but their supermarkets aren't really very super. They're just kind of medium-sized mm-hmm. markets. Mm-hmm. They all carry different things. So I have to go to three or four different markets to get all the stuff I want. But then there's the vendors who sell. It's kind of like a farmer's market, mm-hmm. except it's not on a given day. They're just always there along the roads.
Right.
And vegetables. Love it. Whatever's in season. So you can always stop and that's the best and the cheapest and you can barter. Mm-hmm. And then there's, of course, the fish market. Mm-hmm. And then there's the bakery. And then there's, so you have to go to all these different places, like in the old days, you know, mm-hmm. you go to the bakery to get your bread, go to the fish market to get your fish, you go to the butcher to get your meat.
Living in Brooklyn, we still do that sometimes. Yeah.
Oh, you do? Okay.
They have all those. Not like the suburbs, but they don't have a butcher or a baker. We have those.
But you know, it's wonderful. You're living or eating a Mediterranean diet.
Yeah.
Organic. Must be wonderful.
Yeah, and the fish must be great there, right?
Oh my gosh. It's really, really good. And it's just everything's fresh and local. You know how that's the big trend in America. Oh, sure. Yeah. Local source. Well, that's always been that way here.
Right.
It's never
right.
not been that way.
Wow. So, wow.
Yeah.
How does one open a bank account? What's the process?
You know, when we did open a bank account, it was before we lived here. It was when we were shopping for homes and we knew we were going to need an Italian mortgage and we're going to need to have a bank account. And so our property finder took us to the bank, made an appointment and went in there with us. And all I know is there was a lot of hand gestures and a lot of rapid talking, and it lasted the entire day. And we just sat there sweating with our little fans in front of us, waiting because, you know, they have air conditioning, but nobody ever actually turns it on. So.
What?
Because it's too expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So you're lucky if there's a fan. You know, we had these little handheld fans. And Ken and I just sat there all day having no clue what was going on, signing when they told us to sign this paper, that paper. And it was a big ordeal. When we finally came out, I actually took a picture of me in front of the bank because I felt like, wow, I really accomplished something here. I have a bank account. I don't know why. To this day, I don't know why it's so hard. I don't. It's really hard to get a bank account.
Maybe they were wondering, like, why are there funds being transferred from the United States? You know, there's got to be some surreptitious reason for that.
Well, they do make a sign like every 6 months. We have to sign it. Anti-money laundering, anti-terrorist. Yeah. But then when you file your income taxes in America, you also have to file this special thing called an FBAR, which since 9/11, it's required that you have to declare, hey, I keep money in another country and I'm not doing it for any bad reasons. Right. I swear.
You're a citizen of Italy, but you are an American. How are you treated by Sicilians for the most part?
Sicilian people, it's my favorite thing about Sicily is the people. They're very genuine. My husband and I joke all the time that in America, things were starting to feel really plastic. Like the food was plastic. Mm. Relationships seem plastic. You know, it's like, oh, I have 400 friends on Facebook.
Yeah, right.
Are they really your friends? No. Yeah. You know, everything just seemed kind of superficial and shallow there. But here it's the opposite of that. Everything is just so genuine. If they don't like you, well, you know it, but I'd rather know where I stand.
Yeah, sure.
Most people are super, super nice and welcoming, expect nothing in return. And at first I thought, well, maybe they're just so welcoming and nice to me because my last name's Palermo and my grandparents were born here and, you know, it's in my blood. And because they do see me as returning to the motherland, but they've been equally welcoming to Ken, who doesn't have a drop of Italian in him. He fits right in and they're super nice. So I think they're just real people, and relationships here are very important. They're just more genuine.
Well, Ken probably could look Italian, right?
No, he doesn't look Italian. And his last name's Hill. So that's
okay.
Boring. No, but they're kind of fascinated by the fact that he's from Texas. So in Sicily, most people, you know, they know of the United States, but they don't know all the states. Like if you say Oregon, they're like, what? You know, they don't know. They know California because Hollywood. Mm-hmm. They know Las Vegas because, you know, Dean Martin. and what else do they know? And they know Texas because they're just fascinated by cowboys and guns and all that.
Interesting.
Unheard of here.
Okay.
And I hear there are a few airports in Sicily. Is there one close to you, or do you have direct flights to the state?
Because we're on the island, there's no direct flights. You always have to stop somewhere on your way to get here, at least two, sometimes more, depending on, you know, what route you're taking. From Portland, Oregon, we would fly to Amsterdam. Actually, we had to stop in Atlanta, I think, and then Amsterdam, and then Catania. So we're about 45 minutes from the Catania airport. The Palermo airport is on the other side of the island from us. Yeah, our favorite route was taking Delta or Lufthansa and stopping in Amsterdam. It's pretty direct. It's, you know, two or three flights, and you can bypass the whole chaotic, you know, Rome thing. It works for us. It's still, you know, it's still pretty long. I mean, we're looking at 18 total hours, probably.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Where you are, is it for retirees wondering, is it walkable? Is it hilly? How would retirees enjoy the area?
It's downright dangerous. There's no sidewalks. I mean, you know, maybe in a big tourist town like Terramina, there's an actual sidewalk, but mm-hmm. there's not really sidewalks like we're used to. Mm-hmm. There's cobblestones, uneven surfaces, you know, they're old roads, narrow mm-hmm. streets, mm-hmm. you know, pipes and sharp things sticking out, you know.
Oh my God.
It's just, you really have to watch where you're going.
Okay. Do you drive?
And there's there's lots of hills and stairs, but okay. there's also a lot of old people here. Mm. I mean, next to Japan, you know, people live well over 100 here.
Oh,
so
wow.
Somehow they manage. They're used to, you know, the terrain, I guess. And they must have really strong legs for all those hills and stairs. But those old ladies walk everywhere.
So you don't need a car to get around.
They do have public transportation. I haven't had an opportunity to really use it much yet because of COVID. But I zip around in my little car. And mm-hmm. when we start exploring the island, of course, we'll mm-hmm. start using public transportation.
Oh.
And the driving is scary. It takes some getting used to. They're crazy drivers.
Yeah.
And the streets are narrow and here comes a big bus and,
oh my God.
You know, little Vespas zipping on both, passing on both sides. So it's pretty terrifying.
Well, it's a good thing you have a little car. That's probably exactly. what I would do, you know?
Yeah. It does make me feel a little better. I can zip in and out and squeeze through tight spaces. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All right, I'm going to take a chance and sound naive, but here it goes. I have to ask this question. What we know here as Sicilian pizza,
oh,
which is in New York, it's square and thick. Is that what kind of pizza you get?
No.
What do you get in Sicily?
It's the opposite of that. It's
no.
Really, it's really thin crust, almost like a tortilla. Crispy.
No.
It's not square. Oh, God forbid. Square, no.
Or rectangle, I should say. Yeah.
No.
But in Brooklyn, we call give me a square.
That's so interesting.
Really? No.
Yeah, give me a square.
Well, what about in Oregon? Did you have Sicilian slices?
I made my own pizza there. that's not pizza.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Come on. Really?
I'm sorry. I'm a food snob. Here it's thin, it's crispy. The ingredients are, of course, always wonderful and fresh, but they're like not little pieces. They're big. Like you get a big piece of prosciutto or a giant slice of tomato or basil leaves, not chopped up.
Right. So you just call it pizza. You don't call it squares or obviously because there are no squares.
Mm. And they wouldn't call it Sicilian because they're in Sicily.
Right. Oh, that's
it's just called pizza. Just pizza.
Okay. No, because we have. All right.
And can you get a slice or do you have to buy a whole pie?
No, you can go to what they call a bar here is more like a cafe, mm-hmm. you know, and you can where they sell like snack food and you can get a slice of pizza there.
Gene,
so that's very, I think
I've run out
something
of
here.
Things. Yeah. I mean, we're going to
you look like you're in shock a little bit.
You know
bit,
why? I'll tell you why. Because we love Sicilian slices, Sicilian pizza. It is delicious. If you've never had it, I mean, like fresh. There's a place by us.
Shout out to Pizza Wagon in Brooklyn.
And L&B.
I've been here 11 months and I've yet to see a square pizza or a thick crusted pizza. So
wow.
If it is here, I don't know where it's hiding.
As we always ask our guests, do you miss the pizza? But you're one person we don't have to ask.
But I got to tell you, they are horrified at the thought of putting something like pineapple on your pizza.
Yeah, me too.
Right. But
unnatural.
they put really weird things on their pizza here that I do not buy into, like hard boiled eggs and French fries.
Oh,
oh my goodness.
No, I'm not kidding.
What? There goes the naturalness. Who puts French fries on pizza?
Sicilian.
I know. I mean, they have, you know, all the good stuff too, but they also sell those kind of pizzas, which I have not tried and I refuse to. They're just, not acceptable.
Maybe that's an expat store, you know, an expat creation. No?
I don't know. It's my Sicilian friends. It tends to be the younger kids. Mm. Maybe they make it for them. But
yeah, those young'uns. Yeah. What do they know?
I can see the young'uns wanting French fries, but hard-boiled eggs, I don't know where that came from.
All right. Here's my question. Can you get good Chinese food?
Oh, God, I wish. I miss very few things about America. People always ask, what do you miss? Nothing. The only thing I miss is, you know, there's certain things I can't find, like a Ziploc bag. They don't exist here. or club soda, you know. So when I go to the States someday, I'm going to hoard it. Or when people come to visit me, I'm going to make them bring me a suitcase full of, you know, Fritos and club soda.
No, Ziploc bag. No club soda, really?
No bottled lime juice. I mean, there's,
You can get that machine, you know, that makes seltzer.
You can get seltzer there, right?
You can get tonic water, seltzer water.
Tonic water, no.
But
no,
not club soda.
It's not the same.
Ice, like you said, you know, ice is a big thing in America, but not abroad.
Ice is hard to find here. So we have an ice machine.
Good. Oh, wow.
We know that American tourists who come and stay with us, as much as they want to immerse themselves in the Italian culture, as we do, there's certain things they're not going to want to give up. And one of them is an ice cold drink, chock full of ice. They're going to want butter on their bread. You can't find that here. They're going to want salad dressing. Can't find it here. They're going to want weak coffee because espresso will kill you.
Yeah. Oh, it's so strong. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so there are certain things, little luxuries like that, that we're going to cater to Americans and that we like too.
Yeah.
Was it hard to find an ice maker?
There's Amazon IT here. Amazon.IT. So things we can't find, we order on Amazon IT. Including an ice machine. So, you know, what we normally can't find in the stores, we can almost always find on Amazon. Amazon comes here a lot.
Yeah, I'll bet. So you can get your Ziploc bags on Amazon.
I do. I get my Ziploc bags. And because I have, we have some American expat friends that were retired military from the Saginaw Air Force Base, not Air Force, Naval Base. So they have a PX where they can shop for American food. They still have military ID cards. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sometimes when our military expat friends are going shopping at the PX, they say, you want us to pick you up anything? And we give them a list, club soda, bottled lime juice, tortilla chips.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You have two children. You said, how do your two kids feel about you being there and moving there?
Well, you know, some people said, well, when we told people we were moving abroad, the two things they would always say, one or the other, sometimes both, would be like, oh my God, what about your kids? Or, oh my goodness, you know, what are you going to do if you get sick? I'm like, well, if I get sick, I'm going to go to the doctor and they're going to take better care of me there than they do here. That's a no-brainer. As far as the kids, they're not 6 years old.
Right. Like,
I'm 63 years old. My kids are grown up men with lives of their own. I don't have any grandkids. That might have changed things a little bit. But, I don't have any grandkids. I don't have any grandkids. I'm probably not ever going to get any grandkids with. So I didn't have
kids
that.
You're having kids later and later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, that wasn't an issue, I guess, for a lot of people. If you have little grandkids, you don't want to leave them. But I mean, this was our dream and we were pretty determined. So I'm not sure that even would have stopped us.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of my sons already lives in Europe. He's been here longer than me. He lives in Poland. He's married to a Russian girl.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. He moved here. Oh, gosh. Well over 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's and just then, one. Yeah.
So it's just the baby, the youngest one. He's the baby. He's 34.
Yeah.
And he lives in Portland, Oregon with his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So have they come over? Oh, no. It's been COVID anyway. Yeah.
No, nobody's come and we haven't gone anywhere.
Yeah. Not yet. Of course.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, but we Skype and we talk. And
right.
It is kind of hard with the 9-hour time difference though, because when I'm missing them or want to call a girlfriend, you know, it's 2 a.m. there. So
right.
That makes it a little tough.
Okay. Oh yeah. That's right. Okay. 9 hours in the West Coast. Yeah.
You know, we've covered a lot, but talk to us about entertainment. Give us some of the things that tourists do in Sicily.
But not even tourists or, you know, regular people.
Yeah.
Well, there's tons, but of course, everything's canceled this year. We haven't been able to explore or attend all these things that we were looking forward to. Right. I know at Christmas time, this little village that we're in is famous for having a live nativity scene that lasts for weeks.
Oh, wow.
And it's supposed to be just amazing. You know, the whole town participates. Everybody fights over who maybe gets to play baby Jesus. So they have to alternate. And, you know, they have bakers and candle makers and people bring their donkeys. And, you know, we have a donkey. We have a Sardinian donkey. So maybe we'll enter her one day.
Oh, I saw her on your website. So cute. Yeah.
She just had a baby. So now we have two Sardinian donkeys.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. A couple of goats. So maybe we'll be in that someday. But anyway,
goat milk, goat cheese. Yeah.
I was really looking forward to that, you know, a real Sicilian Christmas and the live nativity scene. And of course, you know, spending it with my huge Italian family, our 30 cousins, but none of that happened because of darn COVID. And of course, there's all of the tourist attractions, big and small. Our favorite things are the small things, like every town all over Italy has their patron saint. And so in the little villages around us, you know, Goggi is a mile away and their saint is Saint Rita. Mm. And so in May, there's the Saint Rita Festival. And it's just a hoot. It's just a hoot. Things like that. Yeah. Small town Sicily festivals are really, really fun. Mm-hmm. And of course, then there's the Mount Etna. You can go donkey trekking and then there's wineries all over the mountain. And then there's the Greek theater in Taormina from 700 BC and opera and concerts. It's endless.
Okay, cool.
Lots to do. And of course, you could just hang out at the beach too. So,
yeah, of course.
So does Ken love it as much as you being in Sicily?
You're not going to believe this. I think he actually likes it even more than me.
Wow.
He has never been happier. Calmer.
That's so great.
Healthier. He's the only human being I know that loses weight in Italy. He's lost 25 pounds. His blood pressure is not high anymore.
Wow.
Oh, it's just amazing. Amazing.
Wow.
And he has so many friends, you know, in Italy or in Salem, Oregon, we had a handful of friends, maybe five good friends. Mm-hmm. But here we just have many, many friends and they just feel like real deep connections, like real friendships, not plastic.
Wow.
Right.
So yes, he's very, very happy. Unfortunately, I gain weight here, no matter how many stairs I climb or hills I climb. I've gained a little weight and he's lost a lot of weight. So, but we're both happy and we both feel healthy and we both feel very, very fortunate.
And I assume most of your friends are expats. Is that right?
No, we have met a lot of expats, but we have even more Italian friends, Sicilian friends that we've met, you know, on our trips here. We've made friends and they've taken care of the house. Our house was here sitting empty. Mm-hmm. And we were worried about something happening to it. So we had a friend that came in every week and checked on things for us. And through one friend, you meet another friend. And then we met the neighbors. And then the neighbors introduced us to their friends. And there's a whole posse of friends here, lots and lots of people, and they don't always call before they come by. They just stop. Here's a jug of homemade wine, you know, and they drop it off. Next thing you know, you're playing bocce ball in the yard for 2 hours.
Totally
unplanned. So nice. It's just, they're always singing and dancing and whistling and happy. It's
crazy. I feel
like
I'm in a movie.
Yeah, I saw you have a bocce court there. That's great. I love that.
We did. It's really fun because it doesn't matter old or young or what language you speak. Everyone can play bocce ball, right?
Yeah.
And you can play it while you're holding a glass of wine in the other hand.
I have to tell you, the audience can't see this, but Barbara, I do not believe that you're 63. I said, oh, she's well before even Medicare. Why am I bringing this up? But you look wonderful.
Thank
wonderful.
You. Thank you. My husband's 3 years younger than me. And boy, I feel like the old lady in the house.
Robbing the cradle.
Especially with those knees of mine. But
Ken and Barbie, you guys look like you're in your 40s.
Thank you. That's very sweet.
Oh, and you know what? If we come to Sicily, we want ice. We'll be knocking on your door.
When you come to Sicily. Now you have to come.
Oh, we have to come. We
have
to come
now.
Absolutely.
And yes.
Sounds
it'll
amazing.
Spoil you rotten. But we will not be eating square pizza, I guarantee.
I want to be at the main house because I want that breakfast.
Yes, I will spoil you. I love to cook make my own pasta, make my own yogurt, make my own everything.
So. Hey, you make your own yogurt. Wow.
Yeah, I even make my own everything bagels because you can't find a bagel here. And my husband loves bagels.
Oh, wow. You can't find bagels.
But do you buy the everything mix or do you actually mix everything together?
No.
Did you get one of those hot? Did you get a vat? You know how they make the bagels?
Yeah, where you boil them in a big...
Yeah,
I just boil them in my stock pot that I cook pasta.
Oh, wow.
No, you buy some flax seeds, some sesame seeds, some garlic, some onions, mix them all together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's tough
because I once made bagels and it seemed like it wasn't worth the trouble. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. No, well, you're not a chef. She's a foodie.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm a foodie. Yeah. For me, it's pretty easy and they turn out well every time. I make Ken do the decorating. That's the labor intensive part. He can mix all the seeds and stick them on there. I'm not doing that part.
Oh, that's got to be tough for Ken.
No, he enjoys it.
Okay.
So yeah, we make our own pasta, you know, and so guests who stay here, if they want to learn how to do any of those things, you know, I'm happy to teach them.
Wow. Great.
And so do you have any advice for anybody who's going to retire and move to Italy or Sicily?
Well, like I said, our situation's unique because mm-hmm. of the whole citizenship thing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can only stay here 3 months with right. a visa. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how that would work, you know, how you can mm-hmm. live here if mm-hmm. that's the case. Mm-hmm. But I would say if you have any Italian heritage or any country, you know, we all came from somewhere. Our grandparents did. Look into it. Go online. Go to the consulate website. Because it opens up a whole new window of opportunity for you and future generations of yours to live and work without a visa and free healthcare in any EU country.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. That's incredible.
So, yeah. Unfortunately, that doesn't apply to people from the United Kingdom anymore because of the whole Brexit.
Yeah.
But there's still, 22 countries we can live and work in for free. Mm-hmm. If we ever got tired of Sicily, we could go live in Portugal, you know?
Yeah.
Not that I ever would, but it's just the opportunities are abundant.
Right.
And so I would say if you have any inclination at all to do something like that, you know, look into it and don't procrastinate because it takes mm-hmm. a long time.
Yeah.
Start now.
Yeah. Start now.
All right.
On that note, Barbara, we cannot thank you enough for coming on our show.
Thank you.
Wonderful. We had a great time.
It was really fun talking to you. It's my favorite subject. So I'm happy to be able to talk. And I hope that I can encourage and inspire other, especially Americans, Italian Americans to come here. Don't be afraid of Sicily. Yep. We feel very safe here. The mafia is not going to get you. You're fine. Just come here and enjoy the food and the weather.
Yes.
So thank you both very much.
We will include your book in the show notes for many people to read because that's a fun read.
Don't forget Barbara's book. It's Barbara Palermo. It's Over the Sicilian Moon.
Yes.
Thank you.
Available wherever you get books.
Yep.
I'm going to write another book, Surviving Our First Year in Sicily.
Ooh, we can't wait.
Great.
Cool. So look for that in the future.
Okay. Great.
Thank you so
All
much.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Arrivederci.
Arrivederci.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you know someone who's relocated for retirement and wishes to share their story with us, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is gg@retirethere.com. Our website is retirethere.com, and you may follow us on Twitter @retirethere_. Now, if you've liked our show, please subscribe and rate it in Apple Podcasts. In the meantime, be well.